Welcome back to the program. It's the Sports Wire Late Night on WCWP. Jordan Leiterback, Patrick Creighton with you until midnight on the East Coast. We've been talking so much about the Nick style and the Nick perspective of the Carmelo trade. Why not? We're Nick fans. We're in New York. What do you expect? But let's get the Denver side of things from DenverStiffs.com. Nate Timmons joined us now on WCWP. Nate, Jordan, and Patrick in New York. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Doing real well ourselves. Thanks for coming on the show. Now, LeBron in the summer, Cleveland gets all up in arms. Now he's the villain of Akron. What about the fan base in Denver and the way they see Carmelo 24 hours after he leaves? It certainly was different in that there was very little hope, or at least from our end, there was a theory that he would not be back in Denver unless something real weird happened. That had been going on for a while. Did that lessen the blow, or is the Denver fan base, the Denver community at large, still pretty steamed at Melo?
You know, it's pretty funny. I was listening to you guys break down that Deron Williams to the New Jersey Nets trade, and that kind of came across as a surprise, caught, I think, everybody in the NBA off guard. And then we have this deal with Carmelo Anthony going to the Knicks, which has to be probably, you know, the least surprising deal in the NBA. I think everybody was expecting that for, you know, maybe since Melo was drafted in Denver. You know, he's an East Coast guy. He, you know, went to Syracuse. Maybe he was always planning on going back to the East Coast at some point. I think that, you know, the fans here have been kind of, we've been dragged through it. You know, it got coined as the melodrama. It was, you know, a new rumor one day. It was the Nets, the Knicks, is he staying in Denver? So I think, you know, when it first started, I think, you know, there's some people that wanted him really to stay, but it got to the point where I think the fans were ready, and I think even the team was ready for something to happen, for a trade to get done, and for him, you know, to be in New York where he appears to be happy. You know, it did happen to catch him tonight. It was weird seeing him, and it was weird seeing Chauncey Billups in Knicks uniforms, but they looked happy. They got a big win, so I think everybody's ready to just kind of move on now.
The idea of the LeBron situation, we've talked about this for months, opening up situations where big stars are going to be moved mid-season because you don't want to get LeBron, I think has started now and will only get, you know, more and more common as the years go by. How about what Denver got in the deal and the fact that, look, I don't think Carmelo was going to LeBron, if you will, Denver, because I don't think he had any interest in doing that. He wanted his money before the CBA got all wacky in the summer. But how about what you got back for Anthony? And I think if you're looking best case scenario, there's a lot of good things coming back to the Nuggets from the Knicks and from others.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, as far as Melo, you know, he kind of did the Nuggets a favor in a way of allowing himself to be, you know, to be traded, to being upfront, I guess, with the Nuggets in a way. He did want that money. I mean, that was, like you guys are saying, that was the big player here, is he wanted that extension. He wanted his max money, the $64 million. But at the same time, you know, the Nuggets did get back. I think the owner, Josh Kroenke, the general manager, Masai Ujiri, they did a wonderful job in causing a bid war between the New Jersey Nets and the New York Knicks. How much was he ever going to go to the Knicks? I don't think so. But as far as the fans can see it and perceive it, I think that the Nuggets came away here. I think they did a great job with what they got. They came away with four young players. You know, Raymond Felton's the oldest guy there, 26 years old. We got two young wing players in Gallo, Wilson Chandler. You know, Chandler's 23, Gallo's only 22. And then we somehow pried away Timothy Mozgov, who we don't know much about him. He looks like a very athletic player. I think once he gets more comfortable with the NBA game, I kind of see him, you know, been trying to scour his highlights and see what he did over when he was playing in Russia. Looks kind of like, you know, he's a big 7'1" athletic big man that likes to get up and down the court. He can dunk. He can block shots. You look at Gallinari, I mean, he's a scorer as well. Wilson Chandler can do a lot of things. Also, that 2014 first-round draft pick, who knows what that's going to be, but I think the Nuggets did a great job with what they got back, and I think the fans here are also very excited with the guys coming in. I think there's kind of that big, you know, they're sad that Melo left, but at the same time, very excited about what these new guys can do. Denver suddenly is now a very deep team, and they're also a team that has a lot of height, but they don't have that superstar anymore. So they're going to have games like last night where they played shorthanded, where they have, I think we had six players scoring double figures. They're going to have that ball movement. They're going to have a lot of assists, a lot of defense. But it's kind of an exciting time. It's kind of, more team basketball. Can you win with team basketball versus superstars? I don't know. It doesn't happen that often if you look at the NBA champs, but that's what we're faced with, and it's an exciting time, I think, to be a Nuggets fan.
You know what? I think Carmelo did the Nuggets a huge favor. He went to Jim Dolan, you know, the owner of the Knicks, and we won't talk about the disdain that many Knicks fans have for Jim Dolan, but went to Jim Dolan and said, listen, are you going to trade for me or not? And if you're not going to trade for me, I'm going to sign my extension and I'm going to go to New Jersey. So, you know, it's time to, you know what, or get off the pot. I'm coming to New York, but if you're not going to assure me that you're definitely going to pull this deal, man, I'm going somewhere else. I want my money. And that pressure, in addition to, you know, the games with the Nets, you know, making huge offers and driving the price up effectively, I think that really is what committed the Knicks to put Mozgov in the deal, put Gallinari in the deal, throw in the first round pick. I mean, it just seems like at the end, you know what, the Knicks caved.
I think that's a great point. You know, I mean, there was a time where it was, you know, I watched as many Knicks games as I could this season because I knew that this was going to be the team that Melo was going to, and I wanted to know what we were going to get back. So I was watching, you know, Gallinari, I'm watching Chandler, and I'm watching Landry Fields, and I'm thinking we're going to get a combination of these guys, and all of a sudden Chauncey Billups gets thrown into the equation, Raymond Felton gets thrown into the equation, Mozgov comes in, Chandler and Gallinari, and all of a sudden you're going, wow, I mean, the Nuggets kind of got a haul here. But the Knicks did what they wanted to do to get their superstar players, so I think the Knicks are happy with what they got. You know, they can fill in the role players later. The Nuggets are happy with what they got because I think the Denver fans would have been a lot more upset had that original rumor that kind of started, I don't know, a week ago of Wilson Chandler, Corey Brewer, and a first-round pick. That had Denver fans up in arms. But this trade here, I think it worked out pretty well for both teams.
You know, when Gallinari has been a fan favorite here in New York, and I think for good reason. I think he's a guy you're going to like. He hits big shots at big moments, especially from behind the arc. What to you about Gallinari and the guys that you got fit well within the George Karl offense?
With what we had with Chauncey Billups leading the team, and you guys will see it there in New York, he can play at a quicker pace, but he's a lot more comfortable in a half-court offense. If he plays in a half-court offense, Raymond Felton coming in, he's a great open-court player. The Nuggets had huge success, you know, in the 1980s with that altitude in Denver of trying to run teams out of the gym. And with the way the team is now, with Raymond Felton, you know, sharing time with Ty Lawson, both those guys can get up and down the floor. Like you're saying with Gallinari, he's not just a stand-and-shoot guy from the three-point line. He's a guy that can get to the rim. You know, he's averaging 6 free throw attempts a game. He's a guy that can shoot three-pointers. Everybody likes to compare, you know, big European players to Dirk Nowitzki. But with Gallinari, there's a little bit of truth to that. He's 6'10". He plays inside-outside. He can be a type of, you know, hopefully Nuggets fans are hoping that his ceiling is still a Dirk Nowitzki-type player. Wilson Chandler's kind of a jack-of-all-trades type of guy. He's a slasher, a shooter. Again, he's only 23. Mozgov, that big athletic guy that the Nuggets have needed that can get up and down the floor, block shots. rebound, you know, finish in traffic, things of that nature. It could be an exciting team, and with the guys coming over, I think we saw in the first game, you know, the Nuggets played shorthanded last night. They shared the ball really well. They used their defense to generate steals, to generate that fast break offense. And I think playing these guys in that system, they're used to it with D'Antoni. Carl also likes to play, you know, more of an up-tempo style. Use your defense to create offense. And I think the Nuggets could play a very exciting brand of basketball over these next 24 games. And that might lead them straight into the playoffs. I mean, they're in a playoff position now. There's no reason to think that they can't finish 500 and finish with around, you know, 45 to 50 wins and get into the playoffs.
Nate Timmons from Denver Stiffs is our guest. How worried are you about Raymond Felton apparently not being happy with his role in Denver or his being in Denver?
That's kind of funny. I was hearing you guys talk about that, and there's been the reports that he, you know, may not be happy. And then last night at the game, he was interviewed during the game as well as after the game, and there was reports that he told his agent to contact the Nuggets general manager, Masai Ujiri, and tell him not to trade any of the Knicks players, that they all wanted to come into Denver and see what they could do with this team. So I think there is going to be a little bit of a point guard controversy. George Karl has already stated that Ty Lawson is going to be the starting point guard. Felton's used to playing 38 minutes a game in New York. Ty Lawson plays about 24 minutes a game this season. I think naturally Felton's your choice for the starting point guard. I'm a little surprised that Carl's going to switch it up and go with Ty Lawson if that does happen. But I don't know. I think the Denver fans, I heard Wilson Chandler say after the game last night that you know, he was a little more comfortable because they got a big standing ovation when they came down from the box there watching the game in to stand down by the sidelines. They got a big standing ovation. The team, the fans are ready to accept these guys, ready to move on from Carmelo Anthony, and ready to embrace this new brand of basketball and these new players. And I think once they get on the court, feel some love from the fans tomorrow night against the Celtics, that it's going to be, you know, back to business, and hopefully these guys will enjoy their time in Denver.
Well, it's good to see that the fans are welcoming these guys in. How has the media reacted to these guys coming in? I mean, as the media basically, how are they treating this trade? How are they grading the job that the Denver Nuggets front office has done in getting these players and, you know, contrasting it with the four first-round picks and Derek Favors, who was the number three pick in this year's draft, and comparing it to that offer?
I think with the media, I think the biggest apologist so far in this trade has been Josh Kroenke and Masai Ujiri. They came out last night, did a press conference before the game. They actually sat with the local broadcast guys during the game last night and talked about the trade as well. And I think the media's been very accepting of it. You know, I think everybody knew that Carmelo Anthony was gone and we better get something before he leaves. So I think, you know, that the Nuggets were able to generate this type of trade for him, I think that it's boded well from the media standpoint, because I think everybody knew Carmelo was gone. But being able to get these guys has been, I think, seen as a victory for the Nuggets and for the Nuggets front office and ownership. Comparing it to the New Jersey trade that was out there, I don't know if the Nuggets were going to keep Devin Harris. Derek Favors has, you know, he's a young kid, 19 years old. There's a lot of, you know, the word potential gets thrown around with him. We know what these Knicks players can do. We've seen, you know, all of these guys besides Mozgov have been in the NBA for a few years, a couple years. So we kind of know they're more of a known commodity than the unknown Derek Favors, who's only, you know, played a handful of games. Devin Harris, we don't know what he's going to do. And if you look at the Nuggets draft history, I don't think fans are too happy at getting draft picks. I mean, even look at the 2002 draft. The Nuggets could have paired, you know, they could have went ahead and drafted Amari Stoudemire with the fifth pick. They went ahead and took Nicholas Skidajvili instead, and then the next season drafted Carmelo. So those two could have been playing together since 2003 had the Nuggets done a better job in the draft. So I think when you're talking about draft picks, you're talking about unknowns. And I think this deal with the Knicks, you're talking about, you know, guys that fans, guys that the media can see, and we already know what they can do, and they're still young. They still have the potential to get better. I think it was a win.
Let me ask you about another former Nick on your team, and that's Nene Hilario. How much should we
just
expect?
Nene now, PC.
Oh,
just
sorry.
Nene.
Just Nene. Anyway, you know, since he's not playing soccer, so I give him two names. How much should we expect his offensive role to increase with the departure of Melo and Billups?
Nene's always been a very unselfish player. He's even said that he's not comfortable taking 20 shots a game. He's never going to do that. He rarely takes over 13 shots a game. You know, he shoots somewhere, he'll take 8 to 15 shots a game, and he's happy with that. He'll pass the ball a lot. He's just never been a guy that, you know, demands a lot of shots. He's a great passer. He's a capable passer. There was fear that he was maybe going to be traded after Melo, but now they're talking about signing him to an extension. He's a guy that, you know, Nuggets fans, if they could, you know, smack him over the head and tell him, you know, shoot the ball more. That's what everybody wants to see, but that's just not who he is as a player. He's a fine offensive player. He's got great post moves. I think he can maybe teach Mozgov a little bit in the post as well, but I don't know if he's ever going to be that guy that you can feature an offense around. He's always going to be, and I think he's comfortable being a third option on an offense. He's now going to be pressed into more of a role of your, you know, number one or number two scorer, but I'm not sure if he's going to be comfortable in that role.
Hey, you watched Chauncey Billups for a long time. How do you think he'll fit into the running D'Antoni style?
I was really worried about that. I'm a big Billups fan. I think everybody in Denver is a big Billups fan. I was very concerned with how he's going to work with D'Antoni's system. The biggest thing there is, if you look at Raymond Felton's minutes in New York, he was playing 38 minutes a game. Chauncey played, I think it was 33 minutes tonight, and that's where you want to keep Chauncey. You want to keep him lower minutes. The knock on him since he came to Denver from Detroit is that he's been starting to wear down as the season goes on. And we saw it in Denver in the playoffs. He kind of wore out by the time the Nuggets were in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. He's an older guy, 34 years old. He's always been a half-court guard. I'm not quite sure if he's going to be the up-tempo guy that Mike D'Antoni's going to be comfortable with, but he can pretty much adapt to any style. He'll wow you with a couple passes every game where he goes, you know, he'll throw something between his legs, behind his back, but as far as a fast break point guard, that's not really who he is. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do that for D'Antoni, but he'll adjust. I mean, he's a professional. He'll adjust.
Hey, Nate, I just got to ask you one more question. The name, DenverStiffs.com.
He's had an issue with this the entire night.
Listen, the first time I saw it, I'm like, so what, he doesn't like the team? They're all a bunch of stiffs? I mean, you got to explain the site name to me. Apparently, I lack the acceptable Jedi vision to figure this one out.
Yeah, a lot of people might think now with Carmelo gone that, you know, the Nuggets are going to be a bunch of stiffs. You know, who's going to play? Who's going to start for that team? But the name actually pays homage to our old coach, Doug Moe, who coached the team in the 1980s. He would call players, you know, he was famous for kind of calling players stiffs. You know, the tall, the big white centers who, you know, didn't move quite as well here and there. He did call them stiffs, so we're kind of paying homage to him by calling the site DenverStiffs.com, which I write with Andrew Feinstein and Jeff Morton as well.
All right, great stuff. Well, DenverStiffs.com is the website. Nate Timmons, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.